Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is episode number 147, and I am your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is Stephen Gies. How you doing tonight, Stephen?
Hi, I'm doing all right. Everything happening up in Michigan the way it ought to be?
No, it was kind of chilly today. It was all mid-70s yesterday and the day before, but today we got up and it was like 64 early in the morning and then it dropped. It got cold, mid-50s, but it's on its way back up. And we're supposed to hit mid-70s tomorrow, and I think by the weekend we're looking at maybe even the 80s. So it's springtime in Michigan.
All right.
What are you going to do?
So, those of you who looked at this morning's newsletter can see that we published, a new book this week, Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament by Janice D. Toney, Ph.D. That's a chapter book that's fully illustrated for children and young teens, and it focuses on a marble tournament and a guy who knows about looking out for the kids in the neighborhood and looks at issues like friendship and caring for others and bullying especially. That's from Janice D. Toney, and that book is now out there, hardcover, softcover, ebook versions. It's appearing in all of the retailers, a couple of places you still can't see the covers or find all of the editions, but they're popping up slowly but surely. So check that out. And we're going to have a commercial for it in tonight's show, and we're making a video for it that should be up on YouTube in the next couple of days.
All right. Yeah, and also dropping today, Fresh Ink Group has entered the Vella market. Paradise My Prison by George Dismuke. His new novel is being offered through Vella right now. And chapter one, or the first episode, as they call it over there, is up and ready to go. And then tomorrow, the second episode will go. And then Friday is the third. And then starting next week, we're going to go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So every other day for the rest of these chapters. Now, if you want to find it on Amazon, you can just go to Amazon and type in Paradise My Prison by George Dismuke. Or you can go to the Voice of Indie Twitter account and use the hashtag Fresh Ink Group and go to the latest. At the top of the page, and I have a link in there. Just click on the picture that's on there, and it'll take you right there to that on Amazon. We're going to be promoting the heck out of this, coming up here throughout its run. So Fresh Ink Group, hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter right now. Hit the latest button, and you'll find a way to click on that and go find it. And go read it. You can read the first three chapters for free. Now, there's only one chapter up right now. Tomorrow will be the second chapter, Friday the third chapter, but those are free. And if you like what you're reading after that, for a small little fee, you can read each chapter that comes out after that. So it's a new process for us here. But our good friend, Verwain Greenho, he's been having some big success with this. And he's talked a lot about it, and that's why we decided to, offer that to our authors as well, and just to see how it works. So get over there. And like I said, you can also just go to Amazon.com and type in Paradise My Prison by George Dismuke, and you'll find it there too. So.
All right. We've got another book that's out there in pre-sale now for a June 6th release. This is The Chair, Volume 3. 7, 8, and 9, which is a little bit of a confusing title, but that's the third book in the Chair series by Robert McKenzie. And we have it on good authority that actress Kathy Ireland is a fan of this series, as well as some other famous football players and others that have discovered it. The first two editions sold really, really well. So we're excited about number three coming out. He's working on four and five. Eventually, this thing will be a five-book series. But right now, The Chair, Volume 3 by Robert McKenzie is in pre-sale for a June 6th release. Get over there, check it out, and order your copy.
And guess what? Go to the Freshing Group YouTube channel. We just finished a book trailer for it this afternoon. So that's up on the YouTube channel. Go take a look at it and like it when you're over there. Subscribe if you're not, and share the video as well. So we could.
Yeah, now I like to make some popcorn when I'm watching those trailers, but you don't even need the popcorn. Just get over there and watch them. They're a lot of fun.
Get over there and watch them. Yeah, all right. So we also have As We Remember by Najma Thomas is out, and this is a book on it's African-American history, but it's American history. It's got some really cool pictures in it. It's the Women's Relief Corps. It's a historical look at this amazing group of women that do so much good work in the community, and that's available now. So get over to Amazon or wherever you purchase your books, and just type in As We Remember by Najma Thomas.
Yeah, now Najma launched the book this past week with an event at the University of South Carolina in Beaufort, and she had quite a stack of hardcover books there, more than enough to handle the small crowd she was expecting. Turned out wasn't a small crowd. People showed up in hordes and snapped up every single book she had and then started a wait list for people who want more copies and to come back and support this thing. So congratulations,
all right,
Najma, on a successful book signing and book launch event and rousing success and terrific feedback from the people in the community.
Yeah. All right, listeners, we have a fantastic show lined up for you tonight. We've got a wonderful guest. And if you want to be part of this, if you've got a question or a comment that you would like to ask or make, you can do that through a couple of different means, and here's how you do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest, or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
All right, call. Okay, Andrew McGregor's How to Paint an American, that is out, and it is selling like, what do they say, gangbusters or hotcakes or gang cakes or hotbusters. Is that what the kids say these days?
There's no telling what the kids say.
It's moving a lot of copies. This seems to be one of our more popular books at this moment. This is a fantastic book. We just had Andrew on here a couple weeks ago, and he's a very interesting human being. He does a lot of stuff with his life. He's packing a lot of time, a lot of stuff into the time he's got in this world, and making his mark. And this book is a novel about a man who comes over to the United States from Eastern Europe, and he's interested in learning to become an American. And he travels around, and there's some rough spots and some bright spots, and it's a well-written, excellent story. I've read it, and I highly recommend it. So How to Paint an American by Andrew McGregor. It is out now. Go grab a copy.
Yeah, since we put that out a couple of weeks ago in pre-sale, and it is still in pre-sale here, it has been in the top two spots in our bestseller list. So How to Paint an American is doing very well. The other book that it keeps vying for those top two spots with is Submariner. And that's by retired Naval Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate. And that's 60 chapters of true stories about life above and below the seas, wearing a Navy uniform and working for a living. So Jerry's got the stories. He's getting some great reviews. And the book is still moving very well. So check that out, Submariner by Jerry Pate.
You think it was yellow? All right, new authors that we have signed this week. We have signed Tennessee sports writer Dave Hooker. He has a long history of covering Tennessee Vols football and a lot more, a lot of Tennessee sports and a lot of SEC sports down there in the South. And he's got a a whole lot of history behind him, really cool stories. Stephen can tell you a little more about some of the celebs that he knows and rubs elbows with. But if you're a sports fan, I'm a sports fan, and just looking at some of the stuff that he's covered, I'm going to grab a copy as soon as this book comes out, because it's chock full of really cool and interesting stuff.
Yeah, Dave's been known to hang with the likes of the Manning family, including his friend Peyton. So he's got some inside stories, and we're definitely looking forward to seeing that manuscript. We're also, we've got several more that we've signed in the past week or two as well. I'll be meeting with the former mayor of Huntsville, Alabama, this coming week to talk about putting her memoir out, which is also the story of Northeast Alabama and leading toward Huntsville becoming a growing, thriving city that recently surpassed Birmingham to become the biggest city in the entire state of Alabama. So we've got a bunch of those, which is real cool. We're also looking backwards a little bit and bringing some things forward. Robert G. Willis crossed the Star Child Trilogy, a very successful three-book sci-fi series that he's had out for quite a while. We're going to bring that over to Fresh Ink Group and put out some new editions of those as well. So we're working on those right now. So things is happening.
All right. Yeah. I heard, you know, Huntsville's growing so big, you guys finally got what, indoor plumbing now?
Yeah.
All right. So listeners, if you've already subscribed to it, you know we put out a newsletter with all kinds of really cool news, photos, information about books coming out, guests on this podcast, and just a whole array of really cool stuff that we put out there. And it's a short, quick read, so you're not going to be sitting there for half the morning trying to, you know, see what all is in there. But if you're not subscribed to it, why not? So here is how you can get subscribed to it, just in case you're not.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? All right. It's an official show now. So I'm guessing it was probably a month and a half, a couple months ago, just to throw that out there. We had Cheryl Carpinello on. She's a writer, and she's got a book called The King's Ransom, Tales and Legends from the Young Knights of the Round Table series. And Cheryl has decided that she wants to turn that into an audio book. And we've been contracted to put that together, to produce it. And we're using Ethan Drew as the voiceover artist. And Ethan is an actor, and he's got quite a resume. But we hired him to do some stuff in the past. So keep an eye out on that newsletter you just heard about, because we're going to have this done before too long. And Stephen's got a little more about this.
Yeah, we're trying to time the release of this so that we can ride some of the publicity as well, because Ethan Drew is the star of a movie called Camp Hideout, which was just optioned and picked up by Lionsgate this week and is in the schedule to be released nationwide and in other countries in theaters on September 15th. So Ethan's going to be out doing publicity tours with that and talking about the audiobooks that he's produced for Fresh Ink Group as well. Now, the co-star, who's the co-star with Ethan on that Camp Hideout?
That would be Doc Brown from Back to the Future and the Reverend Jim from Taxi, Christopher Lloyd. He was also in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Christopher Lloyd. What a classic.
Yeah, one of my favorite comedic actors, and certainly a guy who's seen it all over the years. So what's the other audiobook Ethan did for us?
He did Ellie Collins, one of her Greek mythology trilogies, the most recent one, Mad Max and Sweet Sarah. And he did a fantastic job on that. The guy's he's a pro. I mean, he's a pro, so you expect nothing less than that. But, yeah, this is going to be exciting to put another one together that Ethan has worked on. And Cheryl's incredible talents as a writer coming together and making something brilliant. So,
yeah, now these audiobooks, like all the audiobooks we produce, aren't just an actor reading the story to you, but we've got music, bumpers, roll-ins, background, sound effects.
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure out how to put scratch and sniff in there, but well, we've got just about everything else.
And
so
Ethan,
check those out.
Yeah, and Ethan, when he's reading, I mean, he's got those inflections. Now, we work with other voiceover artists, and he's the only one that does multiple takes of a line, of a scene, or whatever. He'll do multiple takes, and sometimes there'll be a flubbed line in there, and that's why he's doing another take. But a lot of times, there'll be three or four different readings of the same line, and it gives me the option to choose which one I'm going to put in there in the story. So, and this is what they do because he's done voiceover work for animation and stuff like that. So that's kind of what they do with those kind of gigs, and he treats it kind of like that as well. So it's going to be fun.
All right. So before I get to the top 25, you want to look at Twitter and tell us about For Wayne's Johnny Robot Space Alien?
Okay, let me find that. Yeah.
Well, you find that, I'll mention Joe Conjol is on there. He says, hi, Beam, Steven, and Michael. Looking forward to tonight's show. Thanks, Joe.
All right, Johnny Robot. I went to school with Johnny Robot. He was always in trouble.
Yeah.
It says, a young boy tells his grandpa he isn't human, but a trapped space alien. As he explains, he will have to leave soon. A bond of love develops. Will he leave or will he stay? A story inspired by my grandson, Johnny Robot, Space Alien. So Ver Wayne's grandson is a robot space alien, and he inspired his story.
All right.
All right, fantastic.
So let's race through the top 25 print bestsellers at Fresh Ink Group this week. 25 and 24 are both Operation Whiteout, a Mac McDowell mission by Robert G. Williscroft. The hardcover and the paperback are grabbing the 24th and 25th slots. Above that, we've got The Choice, The Unexpected Heroes by Gwen M. Plano. That's the second book in her The Contract series. The first one was written with John W. Howell, and the second and third one are just by Gwen and published by Fresh Ink Group. And right now, the second book in that series is at the number 23 slot. Just above that, the second book in the Sassy series by B.A. Johnson. Sassy uncovers Peter Allen's secret. That's an illustrated chapter book that introduces young people to the AME church in the first book and then learns more about the founder's family of the AME church in the second book. Above that, we've got Larry Landgraf, Into Autumn, A Story of Survival. That's the first of four books that we published in a dystopian future series by Larry Landgraf. And we're glad to see that Into Autumn is still getting some attention out there. Right above that, The Culmination, the third book in that series by Gwen M. Plano we just mentioned. Above that, Robert G. Williscroft's The Daedalus Files, SEALs Winged Insertion Command, SWIC. That was written as four novellas and eventually combined into The Daedalus Files with all four of the novellas in one edition. And it's that combined omnibus edition that's got the next slot on our bestseller list. Just above that, Hello Chattanooga, Famous People Who Have Visited the Tennessee Valley. What do you think of this book, Beam?
Oh, that's a fantastic book. If you're into old school celebrities and playing, a lot of them playing on the road in a smaller city like Chattanooga, this is a cool book to have. I did some work on it, and it's loaded with pictures. We're talking, you know, Sinatra or Elvis and back in the heyday when these guys were young and they're playing there in Chattanooga, it's like anybody and everybody that came through Chattanooga from the early 1900s, I'm talking about 1908, 1909, all the way through till the 2010s, 2010s in there, you know, so it's loaded with pictures and stories and itineraries.
Yeah,
and
it's from the
played and
it's from the guy who knows Chattanooga, that's for sure, David Carroll. He's been the media guru of Chattanooga for many, many years. He's the NBC Nightly News anchor in the regional NBC channel there. He's got his own radio show, his own local newspaper column. He's got a website where he posts things. This guy's out there keeping it busy, and he's got the pulse of Chattanooga. So
yeah.
Check that book out. Now, above that, Robert G. Williscroft again, Operation Arctic Sting, A Mac McDowell Mission. This is the third book in the Mac McDowell series. There are four books in it right now. The two that we mentioned earlier, the Operation Whiteout, that's the fourth book in the series. So Operation Whiteout, Mac McDowell Mission, these are submarine Cold War thrillers. And they're definitely a lot of fun. Mac's a cool character. You've got to check these books out. Next up, Sassy Discovers the AME Church. That's the first in the Sassy series by B.A. Johnson. And then above that, the Daedalus Files, Seals Winged Insertion Command again. This is the paperback edition. The one we mentioned earlier was the hardcover. Excuse me. Now, we're still talking Mac McDowell, because above that, by Robert G. Willis Croft, Operation Icebreaker, a Mac McDowell mission. That's the second book in the series. We're still looking for the first book, and I got a feeling it's going to pop up here. Above that, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by Mark Herndon. Mark and his wife, country singer Leah Seawright, are heading toward South Carolina and got some big events happening in about a week or so. They're rolling out a new song and a new association, announcing a whole bunch of big things. And I'm not even allowed to tell you most of them yet until they get announced. So
yeah, I can't wait I can't wait to get a chance to play that new song on here. We've heard it and it rocks. It's a great song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a hit. Okay, American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain. Why don't you tell us about that, Bean?
That is a book by Dr. Helen Burrell, and it's used a lot in a lot of these court cases where doctors are being charged for overprescribing opioids and things like that. And researched. Dr. Helen knows what she's talking about in there, and she's got all kinds of people that have gone through this, and she shares their stories. And the whole opioid addiction thing, there's a different angle to it than what we've been led through media and government. But you'll see that. And it's American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain. So, yeah, that's an excellent book.
All right. Above that, we've got Letting Go Into Perfect Love, Discovering the Extraordinary After Abuse by Gwendolyn M. Plano. And this is the first book she ever put out. We've republished this as a Fresh Ink Group edition, a little bit of updating. And this is her memoir about dealing with abuse and learning how to take control of her life. And it's just full of practical advice. It's a wonderful thing for a lot of other people, especially people who are going through some challenges. Gwen likes doing events and meeting people. And sometimes she just gives copies away of the book if she thinks it's something that somebody's really interested in could use. So congratulations. Letting Go Into Perfect Love by Gwendolyn M. Plano. Now above that, number one in the Mac McDowell Mission series, Operation Ivy Bills by Robert G. Willis Croft. So congratulations, Robert. All four of the Mac McDowell Missions are in the top 25 bestsellers this week.
Right.
Okay. Above that, another illustrated chapter book, this one also by Larry Landgraf, The Adventures of Ali Orangutan. That's an orangutan who's captured and brought to the United States to be in a zoo, but he escapes and helps some other animals escape too, and goes on some adventures. It's a fun book. Above
packing
that,
a gun, he's packing a gun and he's going after the people.
Yeah, I don't think so. Now, this one's a children's book. I don't think he's got any weapons. But above that, As We Remember, A History of the Woman's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina by Najma Thomas. She had a successful book launch this last week and sold out. That is just a wonderful book. Next up, we're down to the top three now. Shipwrecked and Rescued, The City of Bangor by Larry Jorgensen, the paperback edition of the story about back in the 1920s when they were shipping hundreds of Chryslers across Lake Superior up to Canada, and the ship wound up foundering and in an ice storm, and they wound up having to go rescue the crew and leave that ship with all those beautiful old Chryslers. Of course, they weren't old at the time. They were new Chryslers out there in the sea, and Walter P. Chrysler himself kicked in some money and hired a crew and sent them up there to try to rescue those cars. Did he get them? You'll have to buy the book to find out. Now, that gets us to the top two slots.
Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat by Jerry Pate. The paperback edition is in the number 2 slot. That continues to be one of our best-selling books at Fresh Ink Group so far this year. And then, of course, what's in the number 1 spot? How to Paint an American by Andrew McGregor, the paperback edition. And that is a very impressive number. It's like 4 times the next on the list and double the next on the list. So How to Paint an American is out there making some moves. Congratulations, everybody.
Yeah. All right, listeners, if you've ever missed an episode of this show or you're new to it and you just want to see what we're all about and you want to check out a previous episode or you've got a favorite and you want to listen to it over and over and over again, we have all these episodes in the archives and we're archived all over the place. So here's how you can find our archives.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indie Archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search the Voice of Indie, all one word.
All right.
All right. So you want to roll a commercial before we meet the guest?
We're going to drop one for our first endeavor into the Vela realm.
Now on Kindle Vela, Charlie Flint awakens from a deep sleep and finds himself alone on a tropical beach surrounded by a palm tree jungle and exotic animals. He cannot remember who he is or anything about his life. First, he must find food and build shelter and protect himself from hidden dangers. As his memory gradually returns, it reveals what a very flawed person he is. A man who made too many mistakes, made too many enemies. The implications of the truth are staggering. How did Charlie get there? And will he save himself? Paradise My Prison is the riveting new suspense thriller from retired Hollywood scriptwriter George Dismuth. Published by Fresh Ink Group, Paradise My Prison is on Kindle Vela with 3 free episodes. Paradise My Prison by George Dismuth.
When Aaliyah and Kehlani go from having fun to tussling, Big Mama puts it to rest, as fighting and bullying are plain wrong. Later, Big Daddy tells the girls about the photo of a man on the mantle. His name is Daddy Yo-Yo, he says, telling the girls about his late grandfather, who watched out for all the children in his neighborhood. Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament is about a group of boys having fun until Evil Eye Bucket Smith tries bullying his smaller rival, young Chucky Fry. Daddy Yo-Yo won't stand for it. He knows that looking out for kids also means teaching about pride, self-worth, and caring for others. From Fresh Ink Group and author educator Janice D. Tony, the illustrated full-colored chapter book, Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament is out now. Grab and share your copy in hardcover, softcover, or all ebook formats. Find out who the real winners are as we all learn the wisdom of Daddy Yo-Yo.
All right. Now, that's in pre-order, is that not? Yeah, that's pre-order.
So, yeah, June 16th is going to be the release date. So get out there, order your copies now.
Get that pre-order in. Yeah, okay, so tonight's guest, multi-award-winning author Michael Scott Clifton is an avid gardener, reader, and movie junkie. Hey, cool. His books contain facets of all the genres he enjoys, action, adventure, magic, fantasy, and romance. His fantasy novels, The Janus Switch, The Open Portal, Book 1 in the Conquest of the Veil series, and Escape from Wheel, Book 2, all received 5-star reviews from prestigious readers' favorite book reviews. The Open Portal has also been honored with a Feathered Quill Book Finalist Award. In addition, Edison Jones and the Anti-Grav Elevator, that sounds interesting, earned a 2021 Feather Quill Book Award bronze medal in the Teen Readers category. Two of his short stories have won gold medals, with Edges of Gray winning the Texas Authors Contest and The End Game winning the Northeast Texas Writers Organization Contest. Professional credits include articles published in the Texas Study of Secondary Education magazine a longtime public educator. Michael lives in Mount Pleasant, Texas, with his wife, Melanie. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hey, I'm Michael. Glad to be here. Hey, how are y'all doing?
Doing well. Now, you live in and currently living in Texas. Have you lived there your whole life? And if not, what brought you to Texas?
No, I haven't lived here my whole life. Actually, I was born in Tampa, Florida. And I lived there for 8 years. And then my family moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And that's where I grew up. And I went to college in Texas at Wayland Baptist University in Plainview, Texas, which is in West Texas. Got my undergraduate degree there. And then got my master's degree at Stephen F. Austin State University, which is in Nacogdoches, which is sort of southeast Texas, about 60, 80, 90 miles from Houston.
Nacogdoches.
Yeah.
Years ago, I used to listen to a ministry, and I can't remember which one it was now, but they were based in Nacogdoches, Texas.
Okay.
I remember the guy always talking about it, the P.O. box in Nacogdoches, Texas.
Well, I met with my wife there, and she's from Pittsburgh, Texas. That's Pittsburgh without the H. It's just the G. And and so Pittsburgh is, I think, 7-8 miles from Mount Pleasant. And that's how I ended up in Mount Pleasant. If you're familiar with Texas, to put geographically where it would be on the map, if you were to go from Dallas to Texarkana, and just follow a straight shot there, Mount Pleasant would be about halfway.
Okay.
So basically you've spent your whole life avoiding snow, huh?
Well, I got my fill of it in Albuquerque, but we occasionally get a snowfall here in northeast Texas, usually unexpected. It doesn't bother me, but the people around here, they're not used to it, no. So they can't drive in it, that's for sure.
Yeah, in Alabama, when they think they're going to have a half inch of snow, they close everything down, shut off the schools, and people do a run on the stores, bread, milk, toilet paper. I mean, they're just stocking up for a nuclear war.
Sounds a lot like northeast Texas.
So, Michael, what kind of kid were you? Were you into reading and writing from an early age, or is that something you got a little bit interested in later?
Well, that's a good question. And when I was kind of a quiet child when I was growing up, kind of a loner, and when I was going to say about 10 or 11 years old, my mother had gone to a garage sale and she brought back a box of books. She paid, I don't know, $2 or $3 for a big old box of books, and she said I could read a book for every chore that I did as an enticement. So I kind of started reading, and it was full of Hardy Boys, Tom Swift, a couple of Nancy Drews, you know, the age group I was at, you know, at that time. And that kind of started my love of reading. And I'll never forget. I wish I'd have kept some of those books now, because there's some of those old Hardy Boy books had the original dust covers on them. And they'd be probably worth some money now. But so that's how I got started. And then in junior high and high school, I got turned on to fantasy when I picked up a copy of The Hobbit, which of course then led to Lord of the Rings and Tolkien. And, you know, that it's just been a love of mine ever since. Science fiction, Robert Heinlein, Isaac Asimov, pretty much if they were writing science fiction back in those days, I was reading probably part of it, some of their books. So, yeah, that's kind of where I got started, and really never stopped.
Hmm. Yeah, Heinlein was my guy growing up. Heinlein, Asimov, Clark, Arthur C. Clarke, Sturgeon. Boy, heyday of science fiction.
Oh, yeah. So
tell us about your family, Michael. You've mentioned your wife.
Yeah, my wife, Melanie, and I have been married 40 years. We'll be It will be 41 come July 5th. And I have a son who lives in Abilene. He's a financial, and he's an A&M graduate. Go Aggies.
We've had a couple of those A&M graduates here recently.
Yep.
I imagine. And they're not shy about telling everyone that either, are they?
No.
But
yeah, I live in Alabama. Let me tell you about shy about football.
Yeah, my son has actually gone to Alabama with some friends a couple of times when A&M was playing Alabama in Alabama. And the first time they went, it was 55-0 shellacking by Alabama. And they went one more time, and it wasn't any better the second time. So they decided the trip wasn't worth it. So they stopped going. Now, my daughter is she lives currently in Cleburne, but she's going to be – her and her husband, my son-in-law, are going to be moving closer to us, about 50 minutes away as opposed to 3.5 hours. She is a physical therapist assistant, PTA, and he's a sports writer. And so they'll be moving closer to us. And we have a grandson, Gase, that turned 2 in March.
Oh, so they're moving. Moving just in time so you can spend time with the grandson.
Yeah.
Spoil them rock.
Oh, terrific.
Now you've mentioned, I mentioned in your bio here that you were a longtime public educator. So I'm taking it that's your job, your day job. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I was a teacher and I coached basketball. I taught science for 21 years. I was also a track coach. I had a 38-year public educator career. Last 17 years, I was an administrator. So I was 7 or 8 years as an assistant high school principal. The last 9 years, I was junior high principal at Chapel Hill. I spent all 38 years at Chapel Hill, which is a school just right outside, just south, 7 miles south of Mount Pleasant. In terms of school size in Texas, the largest school classification is 6A. The smallest is Class A. Chapel Hill was the 3A. So we are right there in the middle.
All right. Listeners, we are on the air this evening with Michael Scott Clifton, an author. And you can call in. You've got plenty of time to call in, 516-453-9902, if you have a question or a comment for Michael Scott Clifton. And we're going to do a quick couple of commercials here, and we will be right back.
A grand epic saga by Robert McKenzie. The Chair series spans centuries, touching the lives of 22 generations of related mothers and daughters, their stories witnessed by a simple pine chair. Resolute, strong, loving, and fiercely protective, these women must strive to pass their values to new generations in a world of racism and sexism, politics, scandal, fashion, even the rise and dominance of baseball. They live in privilege and poverty with faith and despair, relishing every moment of love, even as they suffer abiding grief. Volume 1, Lightning, Thunder, and Glory, spans the 1600s through World War I, while Volume 2, Faith, Hope, and Love, follows these women's descendants into modern times and beyond. In Volume 3, 7, 8, and 9, the chair flashes back to pre-Civil War America, featuring a woman from the Second Mayflower, her daughter, the black market Irish lace importer, and a Canadian World War I fighter pilot. A blend of history and philosophy told through satire and parody, the story of the chair could be found in some old trunk in any dusty old attic, but McKenzie breathes it alive with riveting tales that span the real and the imagined. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, the Chair series by Robert McKenzie is available worldwide in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook editions.
As we remember, documents the remarkable story of a Women's Relief Corps chapter in Beaufort, South Carolina. The WRC is a national organization established as an official auxiliary to the Grand Army of the Republic in 1883. A Women's Relief Corps post has existed in the city of Beaufort in various forms since 1892. While much of the record of the early Beaufort Corps was passed through the esteemed oral history tradition, in 2019, members commissioned a study to ensure their story would be documented in print form and told for many generations to come. That story centers African American women as lead agents of change and co-creators of the patriotic spirit, an important theme given that historically the National WRC was primarily white-led. And in southern localities like Beaufort, completely segregated. Beyond documenting the members' experiences, this story is compelling in the larger context of our nation contending with changing notions of its national identity and definitions of patriotism. Written and compiled by Najma Thomas, PhD, and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, this fascinating history is available in all ebook formats. Or grab your keepsake edition in full-color softcover or laminate hardcover. Or listen to the audiobook narrated by the author. As We Remember, a history of the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina.
All right. Okay, so over on Twitter, we do have a question for tonight's guest from Joe Conjo. Joe says, hi, Michael. I see you're a movie junkie. What is your favorite movie of all time? Why? And how many times have you seen it?
Man, you talk about having to narrow it down. Oh, okay, good grief. The best movie the two that stand out to me is The Lord of the Rings by Peter Jackson. And, of course, that's a three-movie series. And also, oddly enough, I don't know if you remember the miniseries on television that's 25 years or more ago, it might be longer, The Stand by Stephen King.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that miniseries, of course, I've read The Stand about, you can count on one hand all of the books that I've read more than once. Stand, I've read three times. And
wow.
I believe it to be about one of the best books on classic clash between good and evil that we've had in the modern age. And Stephen King, it was just wonderful. And the series is really, really good. But I loved Lord of the Rings because I thought it followed the books, which often sometimes movies stray a little bit from. And that was all, like as I indicated earlier, that's what kind of got me started on reading and writing fantasy was Tolkien. And so his adaptation, Peter Jackson's adaptation of the novels was, to my opinion, spot on. It was really good. Well, good actors, actresses, the whole thing was great. Gollum was great.
Stephen and I, we're big movie fans as well, and we've actually done two episodes of this podcast where it was just us talking about our favorite movies. And
wow,
like what you just did, why it's our favorite movie, and you know, breaking them down and whatnot. So hey, listeners, it's those two episodes are in the archive. Go over to the YouTube channel and scroll through it, and you'll find G's and Weeks talking movies. And some cool things. People called in with their favorites.
Yeah, had some lively discussions, definitely.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a phone call here. I see one of our usual callers, Dr. Helen, has been on hold. She listens to the show on her phone. So we're going to bring her in and let her ask our guest tonight a question. Hello, Dr. Helen, are you there?
Hi there, how are you guys?
Hi, Helen.
We are doing
very
fine.
Interesting.
How are you doing tonight?
Okay, I put up a lot of notices for you guys and for your guests.
We saw that. Thank you.
Now, here's my question for your guest. What is a complex question, but it's similar. What caused you, sir, to become a writer, and about your writing process, Does it flow, or do you struggle to express yourself?
Okay. What started the writing, or as far as the inspiration for it, was, as I said earlier, I like to read fantasy. But the fantasy of when I was growing up was quite a bit different than the fantasy that has evolved since then. You have these massive novels. Classic example would be Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time, where you have 13 books that each could double as a ship anchor. There's the big, or Terry Goodkind's novels, Sword of Truth. And they're massive because, in my opinion, there's a lot of extraneous material in there. And I think it's hurt the fantasy genre in terms of readers, in that people who are diehard fantasy readers, they stick with the books, they like them that way, but it doesn't draw any new readers. Younger readers are turned off by books that are that voluminous. Is that a word, voluminous? Yes. And so what I tried to do is to write fantasy in a way that if one had never read fantasy before, they could pick up one of my books and immediately be interested in the story and the characters, because while world building is huge in fantasy, it can't stand alone without good, interesting characters and without a good story, a story that people who've never read fantasy can relate to. So I'll often go from a contemporary setting to a fantasy setting, or back and forth, almost like a tennis match, to entice readers to immediately tie in with characters and a story that flows along smoothly, and it doesn't take you 200 pages because that's all about world building and you still haven't got to the characters or the story setting, so or the story arc. And so that's how I got started, because I was frustrated. I was a frustrated reader of fantasy, so I decided, hey, I can do a better job, or I think I can, and I'm going to give it a try. So that's how I started writing that. As far as how, I think if I understood your question, how do I plan it out? Do I ever come like a reader's block, or have a struggle with writing, reach a point where I reach a roadblock or something? I don't have that problem. I was a big daydreamer when I was a child, and later when I was a teenager, often got me in trouble in the classroom because I was too busy daydreaming about things instead of paying attention to what's going on in class.
You and me both.
And so I have no problem with imagination, and I am an unrepentant pantser. I do not plan. I often usually have an idea for a story, beginning and an ending, and everything in between is up for grabs. So, and I do it that way because I found especially the first book that I wrote, if you plan something out, you're locked into that. And if you go along and you've outlined your book, I give your chapters, your characters, all of that storyboard right in front of you, and you reach a point where, hey, you know what? It might work better if, but it's too late. You can't change it at that point. You've got too much invested in what you've already done. You're already too far along, and you're kind of locked into what you have already outlined out. It's possible to go back and change that. I've talked to people who are planners that I know, many authors that are, but often it's much more trouble than what it's worth. So I let the story kind of come through me as I'm writing. And so far I've had no trouble with it. There's times when it would have been easier to have it planned out. I'll be honest with you. And again, I know a lot of authors that are like that. But that's not me. And so I really don't have that. I don't have issues with writing. And I think part of it is that I'm planning. I don't reach a roadblock where I've a writer's block, or I don't know where to go next.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're wonderful in the way I do it similarly. And to me, writer's block is where artists meet to have coffee and talk about their art.
There you go.
it's right for all of us, including Gary there and Beam. It flows, right?
Yeah.
So that was very good. I liked what you said. Writer, wonderful. Great.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Dr. Helen. We're glad that you're doing so well, and congratulations on your book, American Agony, being one of our top bestsellers this week.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
All right. We'll put you back on hold so you can listen off the air.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Take care, Dr. Helen.
Over on Twitter, Joe Congel had just asked, do you plot out your books ahead of time, or are you a pantser discovery writer? And I think we just covered that. So, Joe, he's a pantser, and unapologetically.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, so now you do a lot of – you wear many hats, so to speak. When you're not working, do you have any hobbies or interests that you – used to kind of clear your mind or whatever?
Well, I'm retired. I retired be 6 years ago in January. July, 6 years ago. So I've been retired for 6 years, 38 years of public education. So I think, what was that? Retired 2017? Yeah, I think. I remember that because I had Achilles surgery 3 months after I retired.
Wow.
I was trying to shoe some cows out of my garden in mutters, and they're not designed for running. And so, but yeah, what I do for pleasure, is that you're asking what I do in my spare time? Was that the question?
Yeah. Hobbies. Do you collect baseball cards or stamps? I don't know.
Witness protection on run from the law, whatever.
Well, I'm a huge gardener. I love to, I've got a, we live on about an acre here, and I've got a 6 acres, of which I have a large, about an acre garden on. So I grow a lot of flowers. I grow a lot of vegetables. That's something, I guess, when you asked me earlier, you know, like where'd you grow up in? You know, Albuquerque is in a desert, and, you know, cactus grows well there and not much else unless you're up in the mountains. So we moved to Northeast Texas, and everything's green and all that. I kind of just got the itch to try to start growing things. And so that's all I've done for the last 30 or so, 40 years. That's what I've done. I've tried to, I like to grow flowers. I have a greenhouse. I have plants that I've got a seven foot begonia.
Wow.
Which, started out as a normal size begonia. It's an angel leaf begonia. And because I'm able to put it in the greenhouse, it has grown to the size of a small tree. It's the largest begonia I think I've ever seen, but they'll grow if you have if you can get them to overwinter, they'll grow to that size. But, and also my late father-in-law, he's a pretty good truck gardener, if you understand what I'm saying. And he taught me a lot about growing vegetables and stuff like that, most of which I give away. You know, the pleasure is growing it, and I give a lot of it away, most of it, friends and family. So, and I like, you read in my bio, I love to watch, go to movies, streaming, you know, now you have streaming on Netflix and HBO, or I guess they call it Max now. If it's a good series, I'll watch it. So I've always loved cinema and movies and things like that. You know, it kind of goes along with the imagination, that sort of thing. So, and I like to read. I believe, and I guess, and I think y'all would agree with me that any author started out as an avid reader first.
Yeah.
And I was definitely in that category, and I still read.
Yeah, I don't know any authors who don't like reading. Most of them were such voracious readers that, hey, I want to do this too. I want to create these stories. I think there's a lot of inspiration that comes from reading as well.
Right.
It urges you into, hey, let me create my own story.
Right.
All right. We are on the air tonight with author Michael Scott Clifton, and we will be right back.
In the wake of September 11th, a man who grew up with his mother in Eastern European brothels comes to New York City searching for an adventure, identity, and home. The USA has other plans for him, though. It'll give him what he wants for a price. A series of imposed quests drives our beleaguered hero through America's dark heart, from New York to Boston to a Walmart on the outskirts of Atlanta, where he finds and spreads damnation and salvation while working the night shift. Published worldwide by Fresh Ink Group, grab your copy of Andrew McGregor's How to Paint an American in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. How to Paint an American.
All right, now that's the best-selling, and it's still in pre-sale. That's a pretty cool deal there. So if you haven't gotten your copy in the pre-sale mode, go over and do it. Get it. This is an excellent story, I'm telling you. Take it from someone who's read it.
All right, Michael Scott Clifton, rumor has it you've got some books out there. Let's talk about them and see if we can stir up some new fans here. I'm looking at the Conquest of the Veil series. Book one would be The Open Portal. Book two, Escape from Wheel. And then book three is A Witch's Brew. And is book four Cavern of the Veil?
Cavern of the Veil Queen.
Cavern of the Veil Queen. Okay, why don't you tell us about that series?
Well, if you like high fantasy or epic fantasy, sword and sorcery, the vibe of the Conquest of the Veil series. And it's also a coming-of-age story. It's got a romantic theme to it. The main character is an 18-year-old girl who is a senior in high school, has been bullied to the point where she's decided to take her life and commit suicide. But before she can carry out the act, her guardian angel appears to her. Now, I don't know if y'all remember the movie Arthur with Dudley Moore.
Oh yeah.
One of my favorites.
You remember the butler Hobbs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's sarcastic and condescending.
I'll alert the media.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of her guardian angel. He's like a Hobbs in guardian angel form. It's very caustic and sarcastic, but he does offer her a chance to swap her life with someone else. He's very sparse on any other details, just that. And she decides to take him up on his offer because, you know, she's fixing to take her life and she figures anything's got to be better than what my life is now. So the next day when she wakes up, she discovers that she is on an alternate world, a parallel world of Earth, where technology has been replaced by magic. But the best part of all is that she's transformed from a rather plain-looking young lady to a stunningly beautiful woman with servants and riches. And so in her mind, she's hit the jackpot, the lottery. Her wildest dreams have come true. But then the other shoe drops, because her guardian angel did not tell her the most important detail of all. And that is, on this world is a barrier of magic called the Veil, which partitions the world into a good side and an evil side, and she's on the wrong side.
Ooh.
And that's the premise, that starts the premise of the Veil. And it's, like I said, it's very much a coming-of-age story. Of taking a character who's been bullied to the point of suicide, putting her in this different world in a different situation, and, you know, and discovering that she's got a lot more to offer than she ever thought she could do in her former self on Earth. So it's, like I said, if you like epic fantasy, high fantasy, sword and sorcery, you know, it's got all of that. It's got flying horses, wasps, the size of horses that are used, that have been bred to be used in battle. I mean, it's got an evil queen. It was a fun read. It's a 4-book set, and the last book came out, the last and final book in the series, Cavern of the Veil Queen, came out last August. So I've sold a lot of that series since I've completed the series. You know how that is. You know, I know a lot of authors that will write all the books of the series before they release a single one. I didn't do that. I did it one at a time.
Now, it definitely appeals to adult fantasy lovers of pretty much all adult ages, but these sound like they are highly accessible even to young adults, teens, younger teens.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I've even had kids that were advanced readers in elementary, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade, that have parents have bought them the series. So it's something I think anybody can read from middle school to adults. I know they can, because like I said, I've sold a lot of them. I've got a lot of good feedback from a lot of different readers, especially since I finished the last book last year.
Cool. Fantastic. So what about the Treasure Hunt Club? That sounds intriguing to me too.
Now, the Treasure Hunt Club was my first book. That was my foray into authorship, into writing, and I wrote it originally, 12, 13 years ago? This was back when we had traditional publishing companies, 2010, 11, 12, somewhere along then. And that's about the time, as y'all recall, traditional publishing companies started going bankrupt left and right, because of the rise of ebooks, and brick and mortar bookstores started going out of business left and right for the same reason. And I had been traditionally published in the Treasure Hunt Club, picked up by a publisher, and then less than a year later, they'd gone bankrupt. So I had to get myself out of limbo. It took a year or two before I could do it. I had to republish it, different book cover. I'm sure y'all familiar with the process that y'all publish books.
Yeah.
But the story of the Treasure Hunt Club is a good one. It's probably one of the best. I have three standalone books. Treasure Hunt Club is one of them. And the story is really good. And it's about the main character, which we've all met someone like him. We've all met somebody whose luck only runs one way. It's all bad. And part of it is because the character does it to himself, always looking for shortcuts through life that never work out, can't hold a job, can't keep a relationship. But one day he discovers this mystical, magical book called The Book of Lost Treasures. And he discovers that the Book of Lost Treasures can find anything down through history that has ever been lost. So imagine what a character like do with that book like the Book of Lost Treasures.
Yeah.
Very much to be careful what you ask for.
You think there might be a second book or a third book in that, turn that into a series someday?
The each of the standalone books I have kind of endings where you could go, like a sequel or even a prequel to it. But I haven't gone down that avenue yet simply because I've got other books I'd like to write first, if you understand what I'm saying. Other ideas that I want to, that's on my list to get to first. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes, there is definitely a possibility for that.
All right. How about we talk about The Janice Witch, a paranormal romance thriller. What's this about?
So in the Janice Witch, you have it starts out in a medieval city with a vicious, murderous coven of witches who are tracked down or hunted down by a group of witch hunters one day, who then proceed to attack and try to kill the witches. The witches, to escape, try to create a portal of magic, but before they can complete the spell, one of the witches is killed, and the portal spins out of control. That leaves the remaining witches with the choice of certain death or or to take their chances with the out-of-control portal. Well, they take their chance with the out-of-control portal, and it slingshots them through time to present-day East Texas. And it leaves the main character, the main character in the story, injured in the passage, that she suffers from complete amnesia and doesn't know that she is or ever was a witch. And as she recovers, she meets a young man whose personality is the exact opposite of the way he used to be. He's kind and he's compassionate, and she falls in love with him. In the meantime, the worst witch of all, the coven leader, has also survived the passage, and she's looking for the witch that no longer knows that she's. And then, unbeknownst to the coven leader, the hatred of the witch hunters is such that they have risked their lives to follow the witches through the portal, and they have also survived, and they're looking to complete the job.
Hmm. Wow. We see a couple more books here. Edison Jones and the Anti-Grav Elevator makes me think about Willis Cross Slingshot. This is a way to get up into space or to launch into space?
Yeah. Edison Jones is my version, 21st century version of Tom Swift, which I mentioned earlier. Tom Swift was a book series very similar to the Hardy Boys, only the main character was a young inventor, genius inventor, pardon me, that invented cool stuff and went on cool adventures. But it's been out of print probably for 40 years or more now. So my 21st century version of that is Edison Jones. And Edison Jones is a 12-year-old boy genius who invents cool stuff. But also, he's paralyzed from the waist down from an accident that killed his parents, car accident that killed both his parents and left him a paraplegic. But he has used his mind and his inventions to lead a life that he would ordinarily lead with or without the use of his legs. And so part of the story in Edison Jones is the cool adventures and the cool inventions. Part of the story goes in another direction, and that is his grandfather, who now is raising him, a billionaire technology company owner, who since his grandson Edison's accident has kept him kind of in a sheltered existence with the best tutors and teachers money can buy. But when Edison reaches his 12th birthday, he decides he's made a huge, terrible mistake, because Edison doesn't know a single kid his own age. And so he decides to enroll him in a public school. So story tracks again, Edison's cool adventures, cool inventions, and Edison learning how to transition into life with other seventh grade boys and girls his own age, which he soon finds out is a lot harder than any invention he's ever created. And I won a National Feathered Quill Award for the Edison Jones book, which I was particularly proud of because I wrote it COVID lockdown, and the Feathered Quill Awards had a record number of entries that year because, like me, everyone else had nothing else to do. So they just wrote, and they had a huge number of entries in. And my entry to the YA middle school still won the Bronze Award, which I was very, very proud of.
As you should be. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Beyond the Sea. This is a collection of stories that you've joined other authors in putting this together. And I'm looking at the list of these authors, and many of them have been on this show. We've had them on as guests.
Right.
Caleb and Linda Pirtle, CJ Peterson, Ron Yates. Now, how did this come about? And give us some background on the theme here.
Well, it's the authors that all participated, we are collectively known as the Underground Authors. And just an idea that was batted around and then kind of just sort of gelled into a book idea or an anthology idea, where we would take an image, in this case, a boat on a beach, okay, and which is on the book cover, and everybody had to write a story a short story that revolved around this image. It didn't necessarily have to have a nautical theme, but it had to have something to do with the boat and the beach that is on the book cover. And so everyone wrote a story following those guidelines. And it turned out to be pretty neat. I thought it was a cool collaboration, really enjoyed it. And I don't know, but there are 12, I forgot how many different short stories there were, but there was a dozen or more authors that contributed to it.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun, and we're definitely fans of many of the authors on that list. And now we're fans of Michael Scott Clifton, too, so everybody check that out, Beyond
yeah,
the Seas,
yeah, there are,
stories from the Underground.
Yeah, there are 12, a full dozen stories in there, so grab a copy of that. You're getting your money's worth on that one.
Yeah, so Michael, you had mentioned earlier about getting some fan reaction and how you knew that you had some young readers as well from that. Can you tell us about that? What is some poignant fan reaction or letters or reviews or something that's really made a difference to you?
Well, I do a lot of comics. I do about anywhere from 8 to 10 a year. I think this year I'm going to be doing 8, yeah. And generally they start summer, go through, through December. But one of the, I was at, I'm trying to think where that comic, it was in Louisiana, I believe, or was it Arkansas, Little Rock. Anyway, Little Rock Comic Con. And this young man came up, I'm guessing he was in his late 20s, early 30s. Anyway, he came up and he said he wanted me to sign a copy of the Treasure Hunt Club for him. And I said, sure. And he said, you know, I was in jail and I just had some issues. And there was a copy of your book in the library, the jail library, I guess. And he said, I read the book and I read it. I was there, I don't remember how long he was there, a month or more. He said, I read it at least 6 or 8 different times while I was there from cover to cover. And he said that, of course, the Treasure Hunt Club, like I said earlier, it was very much a be careful what you ask for. The characters, luck only runs when it's all bad. But it has a very good ending to it, and it has a pretty good a moral to it as well. And I'm assuming that's what he was referring to, that no matter how bad your circumstances are, no matter how bad you screw up, you can always find light at the end of the rainbow. Your path isn't always set. You could do something about it. And I think that's what he was trying to say. So took pictures with him, signed the book. I mean, that was right out of the blue. I've never had that happen before. Didn't really, it wasn't a self-help book, it was a work of fiction. And, but I understood what he was saying, not so much then, but later. So that made me feel really, really good. And the other thing was Edison Jones, who the main character is paraplegic. I had a mother, son was born with spina bifida, and I'd actually, had some conversations with her, and she had given me some tips on how children, teenagers who are paraplegic, for example, how they get in out of their wheelchair, for example. Pick themselves, slide out, and she told me, about just things I did not know that you assumed you might know just by watching people who have been afflicted with either an injury or a birth disorder. And so when I published the book, she got a copy and she emailed me and said that her son had read the book. He really, really liked it. And she appreciated that I had listened to her or took some of her suggestions when it comes to
the character behaving in such a way that was, even though it's a work of fiction, believable in the sense of someone who suffers from an affliction like that.
All right. So now that you've been doing this for a while, you're kind of in that unique position where you can sort of offer advice to up-and-coming authors. What would you say to someone who's listening right now that's thinking about publishing their first book?
Well, at any big book event I've been to, most every book event I've been to, I'm sure y'all know what I'm talking about, almost always you have someone come up and say, well, I started writing a book. I mean, if y'all heard that once, probably heard a thousand times, I have.
Mm-hmm.
And and they ask the same question you just said. Well, what should you do? What would advice give? And having been asked that question so many times in so many different ways by people from teenagers to senior citizens, the best advice I would give is to start, is to finish what you started. It's great that you started writing a book. That's awesome. Great that you got a good idea for a story. That's awesome too, because, you know, people take for granted that sometimes that you just know that, but you don't always. You know kind of a story. You know kind of a beginning, but often they never finish it. So my advice is, if you start writing, then you need to finish whatever it is you started in whatever form it may end up being. A good story is a good story. You can always fix the grammar, the POVs, all the things that all the moving parts that go into writing. But what you can't fix is not finishing what you start. And
well, poignant advice, definitely. So, listeners, you might not know this, but Michael Scott Clifton, besides being an author, is a podcast host with CJ Peterson. Why don't you tout the podcast a little bit and see if we can find some listeners?
Well, we podcast Book World, The Great Escape, every Wednesday at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. And we archive all of the episodes on YouTube. And if you go to our Facebook site on Book World, The Great Escape, you can see all the links that the link that will take you to either mine or CJ's YouTube archives. It's the same. Actually, it's the same episodes, but like I said, you just go to mine or to CJ's YouTube archives. So we do a lot of much like what y'all are doing on Voice of Indie. We interview authors. We review books. We discuss different topics regarding writing, publishing books, and the nuts and bolts of that. So we have topic-based commentary or discussions, you know, interspersed with interviewing authors, and much like the Voice of Indie podcast, they run the gamut from starting out, just got a book published, to those who have many books published and who are experienced authors. And it's a 30-minute podcast. And like I said, it's every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And it's Book World, The Great Escape. Again, if you Google that or don't have the link in front of me, or I tell or I would speak it out loud, even though we normally copy and paste those things. But you can Google it or look on Facebook, and it will take you to our podcast. And we've been doing that, let's see, going on 3 years now. And it's been a blast. It's been fun interviewing different authors and discussing book topics, things, you know, that have to do with writing. And we got to meet a lot of different people, a lot of the same people
that y'all have interviewed on Voice of Indy, we've talked to as well and actually made contact with. That's kind of how, you know, I found out about, you know, about y'all's podcast as well. So it's fun because you get to network with different authors and different people. And but we archive, again, we archive all of our episodes on YouTube. And you can go to my YouTube link, or you can go to CJ Peterson. My YouTube link is Michael Scott Clifton. You can look at just that at Michael Scott Clifton. It'll take you to all my social media sites. And again, it'll also the Book World Great Escape YouTube link from that as well. So it's been really fun.
Oh, that sounds great. Now, your co-host, C.J. Peterson, was a guest on this show just a month or two ago as well, so that's a great interview that you can find in our archives.
Yeah.
C.J. Peterson.
And next month, Stephen and I will be on with her on that podcast as well. Different weeks, of course. But,
yep.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
And we have y'all on, let's see, is it the 24th next week, isn't it? Is it next week?
No, it's today's the 24th. This is Stephen's on June 7th, and I am on June 14th.
Yes, that's right. You're Stephen's on the 7th, and Beam's on the 14th of June. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, let's all sell each other some books.
Now, Michael, you had just mentioned social media. That was my next question. Where can people find you on social media? Why don't you give them that at again and where they can find all your social media?
It's at author M.S. Clifton.
At author M.S.
Clifton. At author M.S. Clifton.
Okay. So there you go, everybody.
You got a website or other places, too, that they can find
it's,
you out there?
My author website is www.michaelscottclifton.com. www.michaelscottclifton.com. www.michaelscottclifton.com.
All right.
Now, I'm going to throw this out here. There's one more comment here on Twitter, and this is from Ver Wayne Greenhow. He said, this was an interesting show, and Michael, thanks for being here tonight. So that's Ver Wayne Greenhow.
So our guest tonight has been Michael Scott Clifton, co-host of Book World and author of fantasy-oriented books that appeal to people of all ages, including young adults. So check them out, Michael Scott Clifton. Thanks for being on the show, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
All right.
So we're going to play our last commercials on the way out, but we want to remind you that next week, Janice D. Toney is going to be our guest talking about her new book, Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament.
Yeah, and after that, the following week, we got George Dismukes, and we're going to dive into his latest book, Paradise Is My Prison, or Paradise My Prison. And we're also going to break down the whole Vela process. So tune in for that if you're not sure what Vela is. And if you are, you learn a little bit more about it because we're learning as we go along. So George Dismukes in 2 weeks. And after that.
After that, we've got an author that I'm not very familiar with yet, Kyler Merrill. So I'm looking to learn a lot more about Kyler Merrill.
Yeah, we're all going to learn because I don't know a whole lot about Kyler Merrill either. And following that, we've got our very own Najma Thomas, PhD. She's seeing some pretty good success with her first book, so we will be talking about that. And we'll get her to talk about that book signing, too, that she did, which those are always fun to hear from you know, other people's experiences with these. So
yeah, definitely. And then after that, we're going to have Alicia Butcher Earhart. I was overlooking at some of her stuff this week. Very, very interesting. So we're all going to meet Alicia Butcher Earhart. And then after that, we've got an old friend. Who is that?
That's C.S. Boyack, Craig Boyack. He's been on the show before. He's got a new release out, and we're going to bring him on and hopefully scare up some book sales for him. And he's a wonderful person, and got a lot of good stories, a lot of fun stories, and he's got a unique series, The Hat, and it's a fantastic series. And I've read one of the books. I'm getting ready to start another one, and we're looking forward to having Craig back on the show. So
yeah, and you can also find Craig at storyempire.com, where he's doing monthly posts about writing and publishing and whatnot too. So yes, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's good that you mentioned that. It reminds me that over on storyempire.com, that's storyempire.com, I have a blog piece out today on the Vanishing Review. Many authors know this. You get a review from somebody, a nice five-star glowing review for your book, and the next day or a week later or months later, it disappears. Where did it go? Why did they take it down? Or in my case, I've tried to review Stephen's books. I've read all of his books. I'm a huge fan, and I've written nice reviews for them, and Amazon refuses my reviews for those. I don't know if it's because we work together, algorithm thing. But anyway, go over to storyempire.com, and you'll get some of my words on that.
All right. Well, thanks again to Michael Scott Clifton. We're going to listen to the commercial for Submariner by Jerry Pate on the way out. And we look forward to seeing everybody next week. Watch your newsletters, people, Wednesday morning. We'll send you the link.
Are you sure that's not Submariner? Just kidding.
Yes, I'm very sure.
Yeah, we've heard about that. All right, we'll see everybody next week.
All right. Say bye, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Submariner. 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. Jerry Pate's semi-autobiographical collection of 60 stories recounts his 30 years in and around the U.S. Navy submarine fleet, ranging from lighthearted to wrenching. All are poignant inside looks at naval operations rarely seen by outsiders. Topics include the real story behind the shuttle Challenger tragedy, risking his own life underwater, discovering a Soviet spy living across the street, surviving when an engine ignites, critical missions, and the everyday lives of men and women of the fleet. Compiled by author Robert G. Williscroft and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Submariner is available worldwide in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Dive into Submariner for hijinks and breathtaking adventure with this poignant memoir by a true American hero.
Multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group is now producing audiobooks and videobooks. Publish your book and discover great books by Fresh Ink Group authors, always available in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats, and now expanding into audio and videobooks. Fresh Ink Group. Just wait till you hear what's next. Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.